want to see Jesus glorified tonight. Welcome to Church on the North Coast and welcome to our Good Friday service. Why don't you tell somebody hello tonight as you have your seat. Welcome once again. I'm sure you've received. If you haven't received your communion elements, just raise your hand and our ushers will get one to you. We'll receive communion at the conclusion of the service. But as we prepare tonight, we want to give you the opportunity to give here at Church on the North Coast, whether that be your tithe or your offering. But I wanted to let you know about something that's up and coming. It's been a long time. It seems like it's been a long time. It's probably been over a year, I think, since I've last been to the nation of Haiti, but we've since scheduled another trip, and we would like to give you the opportunity tonight, as you sow financially, to give an addition to that work there in Haiti. We're doing something a little different this time. We've kind of moved our mission, and every time we go, we feed the hungry, we clothe the poor, we clothe the naked, we visit the hospitals. We pay for medicine for young children that otherwise wouldn't have any. And so if you wouldn't mind tonight, as you give here at Church on the North Coast, if you could give an additional offering to that work. We'll be leaving in June or July, end of June? July, beginning of July, correct? The beginning of July. We have a few openings in the trip if you'd like to go, but we're booking those trips right away. They tend to fill up quick. They tend to, and just so you know, I don't necessarily schedule them in advance. They kind of form on their own, and as they form, I open them up to maximum capacity. So I'm not sure where we're at now with numbers, but the last I checked, I think we have about 5 or 6 openings, but the first to pay are the first to go. So if you'd like to go, you can see me after the service, and we can arrange for that. But we need, you know, we take food with us. We bless when we go. We don't consume. We actually leave more than we take. And so if you wouldn't mind giving tonight to that work, it's going to be an amazing. We'll bring back all the reports from the field. You can kind of see exactly where your money went, where your seed was sown there in the nation of Haiti. And then one announcement as we get ready to pray for your offering tonight. Pastor, how many guys out there are going to be at his celebration on the 26th, April 26th at 1 o'clock? If you're not, you'll want to do that tonight. You can sign up in the foyer. It's only $7. That's like a latte and, you know, like a biscuit, you know, at McDonald's. So you can sign up for that out there. It's going to be a good time. Be celebrating his 40th year, 42nd year in the ministry. And then, you know, I won't tell you how old he is. He's gray-haired, and he's doing very well. So we want to celebrate him on his birthday. But he, you know, the gift he asked for was your presence, guys. Sorry, ladies, you're not invited to this one, because I think the guys are going to embarrass themselves too much. They don't want any evidence of it. So come on out, guys, and do that. Let's pray for your giving tonight. You can hold that up before the Lord is what we like to do, and bless it as we give. Father, we thank you for every seed sown tonight in the house of the Lord. We pray that the seed that's sown would go now. It's different. It's different, Lord. We commission it to do the kingdom's work. We declare that with this seed sown, it will open blind eyes. It will raise the dead. God, we believe that tonight, as we give this seed, it is a supernatural seed, and it shall come back to us supernaturally. We thank you that you provide for us, and Lord, it is an act of our heart's love for you that we give to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As they're doing that, you could take your Bible and go with me. Are you guys going to stay there? No? Are you going to sing something? No?
Up to you.
Okay, I'm just leaving it up to you. I just didn't want you to feel weird as I go ahead and move into the message. So if you want to go, you could go. If you want to stay, you can stay. Don't make no difference to me. Is this where we're going to leave this, guys? No, we can move that. Okay. Sorry. So we're going to get our stuff together here. And as they move all these things, you can turn in your Bible to Matthew, the 27th chapter. And we'll get ready to go here. Matthew, the 27th chapter there. Give me something to lay my stuff on, and we are good to go. Everybody doing good tonight? Amen. I'm excited to share this with you tonight. As I received it, it blessed me. The scripture says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." That is astonishing. That is absolutely astonishing. Some 2,000 years ago on this night, there was an earthquake that rattled through time and eternity. There was this earthquake that was unlike any earthquake before or after it. And the scriptures declare that on that night, something happened. Tonight, the reason we're here tonight is this occurrence. To celebrate the fact that on that night this earthquake occurred, and suddenly in the temple, when Jesus uttered the words, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit, suddenly there occurred from the top of the veil to the, it started at the top. And it was torn in two. Some theologians believe that the veil of the temple, this is a terrible illustration. It's a terrible illustration. Because some theologians believe that its thickness was over 12 inches. That the way it was woven together would make it humanly impossible to tear. Even if you were to attach a legion of horses on this side and a legion of horses on that side and tell them to go in opposite directions, it still would not tear. But even if it did, it would have been torn from the bottom to the top, not the top to the bottom, which suggests to you and me that what happened on that night was an act of God. Was an act of the Father that was declaring to you and I, no longer shall there be a separation. No longer shall there be a wall of separation. See, up until that time on that night, up until that time, what that veil represented was this limited relationship between God the Father and his children. Up until that time, the temple veil suggested to you and me that we could not go beyond this place here. That even when we were permitted, based upon the blood atonement of a lamb with a little L, when the lamb with a little L was slain, only once a year would God allow someone to limit limited access to his presence. He there with limited access would say, "Okay, you can come in, but just long enough to make atonement, blood atonement. And there, restore relationship for another 365 days. Up until that day, this veil represented to you and me and everyone before it that there was something more. There's something more. And church, I want to tell you tonight, there's something more. There's so much more than what we can see. There's something more behind there. There's something happened on this night. When this was torn, something happened that said, there's something beyond this. There's some intimacy over on that side that we're not aware of, but we're privileged to, but we haven't gotten to yet. There's something over there. I was reminded of limited access not long ago. I was reminded that access to intimacy is based upon relationship. See, Bethel came in, they rolled in with four buses. Were you there? Did you see it? How many were a part of the Bethel concert? You saw that. Or if you weren't there, the Bethel Music Ministry rolled in four buses deep. And you know, I'm the associate pastor, so I figured that'd give me some access. I figured it would. I figured because of who I was, I would be granted access beyond the masses. I was wrong. I was so wrong. I watched as those who had these little things around their neck were granted privileges that I was not. I watched as these little access cards were passed out. And only those who had the access cards, the all access pass, could get beyond a certain door. Now, granted, I had a little blue rubber band. I had a little bit of access. I could get into the inner court. But into that holies of holies, I didn't know what was going on the other side of there. They came in, they gave one to Pastor, and he put it on. And they gave one to Pastor Witt, and he put it on. And I'm sitting there going, can I get one? I have a feeling something's happening inside that room. I want to be privileged to go in there and be a part of that. But I wasn't. Because the only way you could get these little all access passes is if you knew somebody. It wasn't who I was. Didn't matter how much money you made. Didn't matter what color you were. Didn't matter how pretty you were. You could be pretty as you want. I mean, your socks can match your tie. Hey, Kyle, you like that? Kyle, I know you're digging that, Kyle. But it didn't matter because I couldn't get access. I was not permitted access. Now, I knew there was something going on in that room. Just like we all know, there's something going on beyond the veil. There's something happening on the other side of there. And, you know, occasionally we ventured into that place. Occasionally you bump into eternity, and you know it when you do, don't you? You know it. You feel it. You sense it. Somehow, you know, it speaks to you. You go, man, I have somehow wandered into a place where, whoo. Something's happening here. And on that day, I didn't have one of these little thingies. I wanted one. But a lesson was taught. You want to go into the holies of holies. You want that privilege. It requires relationship. It requires that you know somebody behind the door. I watched. Well, my little brother Jesse got a little pass because he made a phone call to my nephew Dion, who knew somebody behind the door. And I sat there going, hey, Dion, hey, bro, make a phone call. Get me back behind the door. Because unless you have one of these, you can't get all access passage. And it's based upon relationship, not your title, not how long you've been around. Not seniority means nothing. You know, Jesus did something brilliant when he took the sacrificial system and said, listen, I'm going to fulfill it. And the one requirement now, the laws will be summed up in this. Love your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Because to love somebody with all your heart requires a relationship. It requires a relationship that is alive, that's living. It requires a relationship that's daily. It requires that when you get up in the morning, good morning. When you go to bed at night, hello. When you converse through the day, there's intimacy, exchange, relationship. He trumped everything when he made it about relationship. No longer now. No longer about rules and regulations. No longer even about your sin. But are you in love with him with all your heart? So that's why we gather here tonight. We remind ourselves of our galactic commonality. Yeah, sin. If you want to cut it short tonight, what tonight is about, nothing more and nothing less. Why Jesus bled, why Jesus died, is because of sin. Now we can wash it down, water it down, rationalize it. We can make every attempt to distance ourselves from this. But this is simply the truth. That sin has separated us from what is on the other side. Sin and only sin has separated us from what is on the other side. It blocks our access to life beyond the veil. Hebrews 9:7 says this, "But unto the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood." Pay attention to that. We'll come back to that in the next point. "Which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed." Sins. Then in Genesis 3:24, it takes us back to the garden. Look at this. It says, "So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Meaning, access to intimacy is denied. No more intimacy can be achieved so long as this thing called sin is unatoned for. Now somehow, we've got to find a way to atone for this sin. Can you imagine that life be this close to us every day? Imagine what your life would look like on the other side. It's that close, you know. It's that close. Here, let's talk about something really real for just a few moments, okay? Don't you go get mad at me. But here's the preposterous thing we attempt to do. Come on up, Beck. See, me and my wife, we were married about 13 years ago, right? About 13 years ago? Yeah. Something interesting happened on that day. Something interesting happened. Let me put it on. Now, when I saw her on that day, I had achieved a level of intimacy. There was some intimacy. I began to know a few things. There was, maybe, you know, I won't go into what there was. What's going on? Yeah. 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 There you go. There you go. There you go. See, but on the day when we were to enter into a covenant, when we were going to enter into a covenant, there was a veil. There was a veil, and what that veil represented to me was on this side of the veil, there's a level of intimacy that is very limited. It's limited. Maybe you can hold a hand. Maybe you can get a little kiss. But the level of intimacy is very, very limited on this side of the veil. But on that day when we entered into a covenant, when we entered into covenant, we exchanged holy words and between me and her and a holy God, there's something occurred on that day. Something happened on that day when the veil was lifted and pulled over. Suddenly now, access to unlimited intimacy was granted. Unlimited intimacy. You see, I have access to something that nobody else will ever. Your mama, your daddy still don't have access to. I've been granted the privilege of an all-access pass to the bride. She now has been granted an all-access pass to the groom. Nothing separating the two of us. And then the preacher said, it was her daddy. It was her daddy. You may now kiss your bride. That kiss was different than every other kiss before it, because what that kiss represented was, now there is intimacy without limitation. Give it up for my lovely bride. But imagine the foolishness to suggest that I could still have unlimited intimacy and yet indulge in intimacies outside of the covenant. Uh-oh, I told you I was going to bother you. Imagine if I said, I'm going to indulge with illicit love outside of the covenant, but I still reserve the right now to walk back into my covenant and still maintain the unlimited access of intimacies forever. That would be foolish to suggest that I could live a lifestyle of sin outside of covenant and still be allowed to go in and out of intimacy. Grace does not give us permission to live lawless. Grace allows us the strength to endure sin and conquer it. There's this big debate. There's this big debate, but let that serve as a reminder the next time sin outside of the presence of God begins to tempt you. Remember then that, hey, you want unlimited intimacy from eternity. Well, it's foolish to think that you can have it both ways. That's not the law. That's love. That's love. Love would say, I sacrifice because I realize the intimacy obtained beyond the veil. So, why stand on this side? Why live like this any further? Life is this close to us tonight. It's just, matter of fact, it's not even beyond the veil, because the veil no longer even exists. Why not enter into life? What is keeping us from an all-access pass to heaven tonight? What is it that is so alluring on this side of the curtain that it compels us to stay? What is it that is so alluring to us on this side of eternity that we refuse to give it all away and run beyond the veil and run into His presence? What is it that's keeping us tonight? What is it that's alluring your eyes or your ears or your heart tonight to keep you from the love of your life that Jesus paid for with His life? You see, blood provides access. Hebrews 9:22b says this, and without the shedding of it, there's no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. I'll say it again. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. This love is that extravagant that it cost you blood. It didn't cost you. It cost Jesus blood. It cost blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There it is. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It isn't your rational thinking. It isn't your ability or my ability to distance ourselves from sin. To say, because I think it's not sin, therefore it isn't. Or because I've received a special revelation, therefore this does not apply to me. Blood. That's why we're here tonight. Because Jesus shed blood. So you say, why all this whipping? Why all this beating? Why all this shedding of blood? You and me. You and me. That's why it's a bloody mess. That's why he was beaten. That's why he was smitten. That's why the prophets declare and tell such an extravagant story of the violence that occurred on this night to him. The shedding of blood. It needed to be made clear, the price of your soul. It needed to be made clear, the price of your soul. It had to be evident that you were worth this many. You were worth this many stripes. You were worth this many lashes. The blood that flowed was a story told of his love for you. Huh. Had to be that way. Because without it, there's no atoning for the day when Adam ate of sin. Without it, there's no atoning for the day in disobedience you rebelled against him. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no atonement for the sin you and I both know keeps us from entering in beyond the veil. Or you can try to rationalize it, but we all know that sin and sin alone keeps us from that place. It is the conviction that rips our heart when we enter into sin and we know we shouldn't, but it keeps us from it because we know how much he paid. We know how much he loves us. Know how much he loves us. His blood was shed and now provides an all access pass to the other side. Blood. His blood shed. But you see, it's not enough that he would just shed blood. The blood must be applied. You see, it's not enough that I know the all-access pass card exists. Lest I take the all-access card, hang it from my necketh, and walketh around with it. It meaneth nothing. I just figured I'd King James it up there a little bit. Make it more liturgical tonight. You see, I've had, you know, let me be nice. There are people from false religions that would suggest to you that it occurred. That blood was shed, yes. False religions would agree with you. Yes, he did do that, yes. But they're not going to take it and put it on their neck and apply it to their life. See, it must be applied. The blood must be applied. Exodus 12, 22 to 23 says, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, a bunch of it. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of this door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house and strike you. Some would say that Jesus wasn't that lamb, but I would suggest to you that John declares in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when he said the lamb, he meant the big L. He meant the one that all those other little ones were shadowing about. This is the one. This is the lamb that will tear down the veil and let everybody come in. Almost done. Romans 3:21 to 26. Paul begins to talk about this. He said, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. by his blood. His blood meant something. Through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. He there takes some language from the Old Testament and throws it in the New Testament in case you get disillusioned about what is occurring here. His righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the Lamb foreshadowed in the story of the Passover. Death is averted by those who took the blood of the Lamb and applied it to their house. Applied it to their house. All access passed to those who have applied the blood by faith. I would appeal to you tonight to apply the blood, because once it's applied, it leaves a wonderful stain. It leaves a wonderful stain. Death is not permitted in your home. No matter how dirty the lintel gets, no matter how dirty, because the blood leaves a wonderful stain. You ever try to get blood out of fabric, it doesn't come out. It just doesn't. God created the DNA of man to leave a stain. Imagine the DNA of God in the earth, and what a stain it leaves on the soul of which it's applied. When it is applied to the doorpost of your house, when you put it on your heart, the devil can come knocking. He can come tearing down the door, demanding payment. I would just advise you, when he does, to take out the hose. I mean, come to the house of God. Get it all cleaned up. And then look at him and say, see that? That's the blood that was applied on the doorpost. You got to go on. You got to keep traveling. Keep on trucking, because it leaves a wonderful stain. Can't be washed out, can't be rubbed out, can't be worked out, can't be lost through more sin. Because once it's there, it's there. Once you got it, you got it. And once you got it, how he'll chase you down. Oh, you can get as dirty as you want. You can wind up eating with pigs. You can get as muddy as you want, but you'll still hear the Father's love crying out to you. You'll still know at the end of the day, there is this now stain on your soul that cannot be washed away. And so you can tell death, keep on moving. The blood of the Lamb, not the blood of a lamb, has been applied. You can point death to the doorpost. Jesus provided tonight an all access pass for all through himself. Every once in a while when I travel with Pastor, I have to use this phrase. We should all practice saying it. I'm with him. I'm with him. I remember, you know, earlier on in the ministry, I would walk behind him real fast, because when you're in a certain environment, he moves pretty fast. And so you just got to keep, and when somebody would stop me, I'm with him. I'm with him. Hey, because where he goes, he gives me unlimited. I now have access that those poor Jimmies don't have access to. I was at the airport one time, and Pastor showed me this room that exists. You know there's a room in the airport that exists that we don't know about? It's something amazing. It's wonderful. You go into this place and there's food to eat and showers and couches and air conditioner and newspapers to read. You can just sit back, relax, and wait. There's access granted to those who know somebody that all those other people don't have. You know, all we have to say, if you really want access tonight, all you have to do is say, I'm with the one who tore the veil. I'm with that guy. I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. You know, and the enemy can say what he wants. He can try to stop you, but he just can't argue against that. I'm with Jesus. See you later. I gotta go. But trust me, he don't want you back there. He don't want you back there. The enemy of your soul does not want you abiding in some eternal place of unlimited intimacy. Here's an amazing thing that happens. When the veil was torn, suddenly, life to the dead came to the earth. Life to the dead came to the earth. And if there's a dead place in your life tonight, I want you to know that, you know, the blood that Jesus shed. When I was a young boy, I'll close with this. When I was a young boy, I lived in this neighborhood with a bunch of little bad little kids. I guess that makes me a bad little kid too. But we would build these forts, you know. You ever build a fort, Adam? We built these forts, you know. I remember this one we built. We stole everything from everybody around, you know. We just go in there. God forgive us, you know. He did, you know. We just look, and we go and we take, you know, shingles from this guy, or you know, wood from that guy, and you know, and then we in the woods we'd be building something, and we'd build this fort, and then we'd do something once the fort was built. We'd cut a covenant so that there, you know, the only way you could gain access to our fort was if we was blood brothers. I don't ever recommend this anymore. But back when I was a kid, we would actually take a knife, cut ourselves. Grant, he would then cut Joey, little Joey, my friend Joey, cut himself, and then we would take where we cut, and we would grab one another, and we would make a covenant. This fort is covered in blood. We are blood brothers. Huh? We are blood. How come? Y'all looking at me like you never did. How many did this in your childhood? Thank you. Thank you. I was trying to feel like I was raised up in the Appalachian Hills somewhere. Like, yes. And we would cut covenant. Don't ever do this. If you're a kid listening, you ever do this. It's very unhygienic. It's bad. We don't want to do this anymore. But we there would cut covenant, and blood would be spilled, and we would declare to one another, we are blood brothers. And the only people allowed in this fort of ours are those who are blood brothers with us. And we would guard it. We would guard it. You can't go in there. All the other little Jimmies in the neighborhood, they wanted to go in there. Sorry. See that scar right there? Me and Joey cut covenant. I'm the prez, he's the vice prez. You can't go in there. You got to shed blood if you want to go in there. Because blood allowed entrance. On this night, some 2,000 years ago, your brother, Jesus, he cut and he bled. And he made a club. He created a fort in heaven. And when he did, see, when he did, something spectacular happened. Say, you know what? No more. No more. All can enter in. So tonight as we close, I ask you this, what's dead in your life? What's dead? Because in Matthew 27, 52 to 53, it says this. It says the graves were opened. That when the earthquake shook the earth, the graves were opened. Huh. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And they came out of the graves. They came out of their graves and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Because when you have been granted access into life, suddenly, everything and anything that has the appearance of death, the stench of death, the hearing of death, anything that looks like death, smells like death, It doesn't matter. It has to come alive. Because life has not, the door of life has been knocked down through Christ. Our brother has shed blood and given us access. And so tonight I would say, what's dead? What in your life needs resurrected? What in your life needs access? Dead things come to life when the veil is torn. Enter in tonight. Apply the blood. Receive fully the life that is yours. Jesus has granted all access. He's given you an all access pass. Unlimited. Unlimited. You guys can come now if you like to play a little bit. But unlimited doesn't mean, you know, well, you have to deal with sickness a little bit. An all access pass means this. I can go wherever I want. I can enter in whatever's on that side. I have a pass for. You see, tonight there is no sickness that the all access pass has not granted you the cure for on this side. You see, all access doesn't mean limited access. Limited is on this side. Unlimited now on this side means, hey, go ahead. Go get it. It's yours. So what tonight? What tonight is limited? What areas in our life tonight, on Good Friday, when we celebrate His death, when we declare that because He died, we live, where in our life do we have limitation? What area is not living up to the unlimited potential that Jesus paid for? Stand with me tonight. As you receive your communion elements as you came in, I'd ask you now, to take the bread. And hold it in your hand. And realize. I mean, realize that we're holding in our hand an all access pass. His body. His body bruised and tattered. On display for the world to see. On display telling a story of magnificent love for you and me. What you hold in your hand tonight is the greatest love story ever told. It declares through time, from eternity, how very special you are. Tonight it's declaring to you that you don't have to live a life with limitation. That because He was broken, and the veil there torn, we have access. I invite you to take it and break it and receive it in Jesus' name. And as you hold that cup, I invite you to look at it. Look at what it represents. His blood spilled, leaving a stain on your life that can never be washed away. It has the ability. You know, though it can't be washed away, it washes away sin whiter than snow. It washes away sin. His blood washing away. I invite you tonight to receive it and allow it to wash away any separation. No separation tonight. Unlimited access, not partial. Tonight we want to pray for those that are experiencing sickness in their body, or you know somebody that is. And as we enter into worship, what I'd like you to do is, if you are struggling with physical healing, I want you to come forward. And then we want our prophetic team to there minister to them, and lay hands on them and release the word of the Lord. We want to open the atmosphere up now for the next 10 or 15 minutes to just allow those who operate with prophetic words of knowledge to come forward and send the words. So if you need to go, we release you. But those that would like to linger, and those that need prayer for sickness in their body, we invite you to come now. Our team of ministers are going to come, and they're going to lay hands on those that are forward here in the altar. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody tonight. Pray hard. God bless you as you go.